It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Yes,
give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, welcome to the July 26th Without a Roof radio program. We got three things we're going to cover today. A new segment I'm going to start doing every week, a news rundown, which you'll hear shortly. Two other things. We've got Youth Advisory Council, a nice little piece they put together with Megan Malloy from School Ties around their Back to School Connect, which is coming up next month. And we have two vignettes that I chose from my Central Valley Walk to raise awareness for homelessness that started 5 years ago this month. And next week, I'm going to be dedicating an entire show to this, so listen up to some vignettes from Oroville and Marysville as we now take you into the news rundown here on the Without a Roof radio program. Guillermo Mash here with the news rundown for the July 29th Without a Roof radio program. Mark Balcar Ingai, the murder suspect in the Audra Houston case, is in custody awaiting arraignment. Audra Houston, better known as Audie to her friends, leaves behind two young sons who live with their dad in paradise. We send thanks and gratitude to Shelley Watson from the Jesus Center and Alyssa Cozine from Catalyst Domestic Violence for coming on last week's Without a Roof radio program dedicated entirely to the memory of Audra Houston. Downtown Chico Property-Based Business Improvement District, or PBID, passed with an 81% of the weighted votes cast as yes at the July 5th Chico City Council session. An advisory board is being formed, and the anticipation is that the PBID will begin operation in downtown Chico in January of 2018. Tom D. Giovanni, the steering committee chair, has made a lot of public posturing around the PBID's intention to forego armed guards. Absent from this declaration is a firm commitment to leave law enforcement activities to the city. Speaking of which, we're tracking down a street tip on whether or not, and we haven't confirmed, the city of Chico themselves has hired armed guards to police from the general city budget. We also hear from Crystal Knoll, a PBID consultant based out of Roseville, who discussed the issue of armed guards at the July 5th City Council meeting in a question posed by Randall Stone, a Chico City Council member. Here's the audio from that exchange.
Do you see revenue that's raised being spent on armed guards in their downtown areas?
Some of the larger districts that have real case issues, sometimes there, but you're getting into a liability issue. And sometimes in a district this size, you can't carry enough insurance for that liability issue. So we typically, in districts like this, there's a national organization called Block by Block that actually came to meet with some of the interested parties here.
4 years ago.
And they actually train their personnel. They're well-trained, and they have a national connection. So those people are trained to be eyes and ears on the street. We call them more ambassadors than anything else. But they have connections to the police department. They're also, you know, guides to tourists, people on the street, navigators. They help, you know, issues on the street. They're here daily, yeah. But they're well trained.
I would just like to add as a clarifying comment, I've researched this issue, and I had an offline discussion with the steering committee, Tom D. Giovanni, And we've only been able to nail down one business improvement district. That is one. That's uno. That's one finger sticking up, pointing into the air in the entire state of California that has armed guards in a downtown business district under the quote-unquote property-based business improvement district. And that is West Hollywood. Moving on to lunches in the park. Both the Chico Enterprises Record and the Chico News and Review have published articles in the past week regarding a lunch in the park with Terry Dubose, a downtown business owner. I have attended two of those Wednesday lunches and confirm a strong police presence in the park during the lunch times, which start at 1 p.m. The police activities I've seen are the customary questioning and public search of people on probation or parole. Most of my time last Wednesday in the park, in fact, was talking with a friend who, through no design of her own, was 15 feet from two police who spent 15 minutes searching and questioning a person on parole. Neither of us felt any safer having police in the park, and we were a bit anxious about the whole affair transpiring right in front of us. I did talk with the woman described as a transient woman in the Chico Enterprise Record article published on July 22nd, titled Chico Businesswoman Getting Pushback from Lunch Dates. I know this woman quite well from the street-level journalism and outreach activities that I do. She is a woman I introduced Terry Dubose to personally several years ago as someone she may be able to help mentor. Hence, both Dubose and myself are familiar with this woman. This woman was agitated by the premise of the event, which in her eyes is designed to intimidate the homeless community. We had some dialogue around the concept that everyone is welcome in the park and all they are doing is having lunch in the park and expect not to be harassed. And that being harassed for eating in the park isn't something she would like either. I sense getting my point across at some level, which I hope will alleviate the tension. My perspective here is that everyone should feel welcome in the plaza and feel free to eat their lunch in peace and privacy. Doing so as a businesswoman with the full and complete backing of the Chico Police Department and City Council is far, far removed from the realities of police harassment and general you're not welcome here energy that the city spends tens of thousands of dollars supporting by targeting people based on the appearance of poverty. All right, here's an update on the Stairways programming, i.e. Stairways programming and walking away from two HUD COC grants. Like the prior story we covered, both the Daily and the Weekly had covered that story, but since they have published, there's been a few things that have come to pass on this. And that is, the COC is pursuing another organization that can execute these grants. When I say these grants, they read as follows. Provide permanent supportive housing. Funds are used as rental assistance with some case management support using the Housing First Harm Reduction Model. Target population includes 4 chronically homeless individuals. A focus on transition age youth, TAY, with severe mental illness and substance abuse disorder. This is a priority for LGBTQ and victims of human trafficking. That is a $28,159 stipulation. And then there's an additional money that's set aside on a different grant with the same parameters, eligible activities, operation, maintenance, and repairs, taxes, insurance, utilities, etc. Bottom line is giving for desperately needing folks on the streets into housing and giving them a lease on life. So where the COC is at is they're pursuing another organization that can execute this grant. Without a successful search for an organization to take this on and having Stairways programming agreeing to sign the grant stipulating which organization will be responsible to perform, this money, this $72,000, will be lost to the county permanently, and our yearly allocation will be docked $72,000 per year starting in the next HUD budget, aka 2008-2019. I'll just give you the tenor on this. The community of service providers and homeless advocates have a range of emotions around this that are best described as a combination of shock and lividness. Ed Mayer, the director of the Housing Authority of the County of Butte, states he has never seen anything like this in the 30 years he has been working in the HUD sphere of influence. It's a horrific blow to our community and one that reflects poorly on Stairways programming. The Without a Roof Radio program, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Airport Storage, providing safe and secure drive-up ground-level self-storage units in a variety of sizes. Airport Storage also offers on-site management, security cameras, and an automatic gate with extended hours. Located off Cohasset Road across from the Chico Airport. For more information, visit airportstorage.com or by calling 893-4279.
Good evening. This is Jess Candela with the Butte County Youth Advisory Council. Thanks to Bill Mash for letting us host this program. Today on our show, we have an interview with Megan Malloy, who's the program coordinator of School Ties. And she'll be talking about her new event called School Ties Back to School Connect. It's a one-stop shop for K through 12 homeless students to get ready to go back to school. Take it away, Megan. And we're here with Megan Malloy, who's the program coordinator for School Ties, Butte County Office of Education. Thanks for being on our show, Megan.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about School Ties. So can you tell our listeners what School Ties is and what you do?
Okay, so we've been around for about 15 years here in Butte County, and we provide educational support services to students experiencing homelessness and also students who are in foster care. That includes case management, advocacy, school transportation, we do tutoring, and we do mentoring.
Nice.
And we give out school supplies. Sometimes we can supplement with some food cards, gas cards, anything having to do with school we can help with.
Awesome. And about how many homeless youth do you have in Chico and Butte County as a whole?
So the last data set that we have is from the 2015-16 school year, and we identified 1,421 homeless students in Butte County. Mm-hmm. That was throughout Butte County. We have 14 school districts here in the county. About 50% of those students are in the Chico School District attendance area, and about 65% of that 1421 are in doubled up or shared housing situations.
Mm-hmm. Right, because homelessness doesn't always look like what we think it looks like, right?
Exactly, especially in rural areas where we don't have a lot of shelter beds for families. Families have to rely on others, their support networks, their family and friends, and kind of bounce around and couch surf.
Definitely. Absolutely. And in 2012, you helped to coordinate the first project, Homeless Connect in Chico.
I did. At that time, for about 3 years, I was the Butte County Homeless Continuum of Care Coordinator. And that was the project that was the most exciting when I was doing that work. And then I participated in the 2016 one. And they were probably two of my favorite events that I've ever been part of.
Mm-hmm. And that one's really geared towards single adults who are homeless, right?
It is. It is. And it's a model that started in San Francisco. It's spread around the country. And it's a kind of one-stop shop concept for people experiencing homelessness to come and have all the services they need in one spot in one day. Mm-hmm. So experiencing those two big Project Homeless Connects, I had this idea percolating in the back of my mind, we need to do this for our homeless students. The other Project Homeless Connects that we've had were extremely successful. I think the last one, maybe 600 or a little over 600 people came through. They were mostly single adults. It happens during the school day on a weekday in April. And so they're really, we didn't reach students as much as we could have. So what we're doing this August is what I'm calling a mini Project Homeless Connect, or we're calling it a Back to School Connect, that's more targeted to students and families with children.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of services can people expect will be there?
Okay, we will have about 20 service providers there. The main idea is that we're getting students ready to go back to school. So that first day of school, they can feel prepared and ready to just step in and get going with their learning. So we want to be sure they have all the supplies they need. We'll have backpacks, school supplies, hygiene kits, food bags, haircuts, which I'm really excited about, new socks and underwear, and clothes. So those are kind of those concrete items that they'll have to take with them to be ready for school. And then we also want to be sure that they're connected with services and that they're receiving any mainstream benefits that they may qualify for, and that they're aware of services like counseling, tutoring, community, just our community organizations that provide support to families in need, mm-hmm. and housing options. So we'll have our shelters represented there, other housing options, employment, and so on.
So it really is this one-stop shop event.
And yes, it's really exciting. And I don't want to forget to mention public health. I'm really excited about that piece. Students have to be immunized in California to even start school.
Right.
And we are doing this great partnership with public health. Opening their clinic, which is across the street from where we're having the event at Chico Junior High, and they'll be helping families figure out their immunization status and what they need to do to be ready to go to school.
Absolutely. So there's all these different services, whether it be like the basic needs, community yes. support services, getting ready for school, and it's also going to be kind of more like a festival, a family.
Yes, yes. So we want students ready for school. We want them enrolled. We want them ready to go.
Right.
We also have this other goal, which is to ensure that our families feel welcomed into the school, and that our families that are experiencing homelessness know that they have support, they're wanted, it's open door, it's the community is here to support them, and that the school is there to support them.
Absolutely.
So we'll be doing arts and crafts. We'll be doing fun activities for the kids. We'll be having a raffle. We'll have a DJ. There'll be music. We'll have community volunteers. We'll be showing a movie in the school theater. We'll have popcorn and cotton candy. It's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. And families get fed at the event too, right?
And the families will also get fed. We'll be giving tickets for Taco Truck, which I'm pretty excited about.
Definitely.
It's always popular.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so the event is August 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Chico Junior High School, and serving homeless students K through 12.
Yes. Yes. And if there's younger siblings as well, they're welcome to come, that 0 to 5 population. We want to be sure that they're getting connected with childcare options in preschools as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if folks want to donate or volunteer, there's a Facebook, which is Back to School Connect. And you can find the events on there and more information.
And we do need donations, and we do need volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we would love to hear from you.
Awesome. And donations can be dropped off at the Boys and Girls Club.
KZFR will be in the house. Back to School Connect. Come and see us at our booth.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so at this time. Just that we are really excited. I think this is going to be a great model, and I know we'll learn this year and we'll grow this. And I'd also like to expand this into other areas of Butte County in future years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a great idea.
And also a big shout out and a big thank you to the Child Abuse Prevention Council for providing us a mini grant to fund some of this. Thank mm-hmm. you, Cassie.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks to Megan Malloy for that interview. The Back to School Connect event will be held on August 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Chico Junior High School. And again, that's for K through 12 homeless students and their families to get school supplies, backpacks, haircuts, and everything else they need to get back to school ready. The Butte County Youth Advisory Council is made up of youth between the ages of 14 and 24 who have experience with homelessness, poverty, incarceration, or foster care. Meetings are on the first and third Tuesdays of every month at 6th Street Center for Youth from 3 to 4 p.m. And youth participate in leadership, empowerment, and well-being activities. We have an event coming up on August 1st from 6 to 7 p.m. at 6th Street Center for Youth. It'll be an open mic night for the homeless youth at 6th Street Center to present their performance pieces in music, art, storytelling, rap, and spoken word. So come on by. Thanks again to Bill Mash for letting us host this program, and have a good evening.
All right, KZFR has actually taken some donations. Folks have actually donated. There's one backpack in here, but if you're listening and you're part of the KZFR community, you must be if you're listening, right? Come on down to the station and drop off some supplies for the back-to-school event that's coming up on August 8th. And I give a shout-out to Jess Candela. She's her internship's up at the BCOE. Someone else is coming in to take her place. And she's done a wonderful job, and look forward to seeing her at this Back-to-School Connect. Well, the geese are going. So your name is Carl?
Dennis.
Well, Bill again.
Dennis Robertson, man.
Yeah. So what would you like to say?
Look out for one another, man. You know what I mean? Look out for it. You know, I mean, if some person's got it, then help another person, you know. And if they got it, help another person, you know. But we all got to stick together, man. Don't steal. Don't, you know what I mean? You can't, negative things are going to bring negative results, dude. Positive things will bring positive results, you know.
Then you've been out of prison now. You've been able to stay out for 8 months, right?
8 months.
Keep it up.
You know, I got my four girls and my son. They just can't believe me, you know. I just ride my bike and do my cans and bottles, man.
You got a purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I make 27, 30 bucks a day, man. I go there like two or three times a day, man.
Yeah. How old are your kids, man?
My son's 23. I have a 21-year-old daughter. I have an 18-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old daughter, and a 9-year-old daughter.
So what drugs did you have to kick, if you don't mind me asking?
Crank.
Pardon? Crank?
Crank, yeah.
Man, a lot of people out here, you can tell.
You know, it took this place like wildfire, dude.
This whole town, man.
It was just like, wow. When I went to high school, you know, I graduated from Marysville High School in 1977. It just took this place like wildfire, dude. Cops didn't know what to do. And everybody, man, was shooting some dope, dude. I don't even know who put a needle in my arm. I don't know, but everybody was doing it. I did it, my wife did it, my friends did it, and, you know, and everybody, dude.
Sorry. So you've been able to, did you have assistance to quit? Or you just said, this has been crazy?
I got caught three times, man. I got a possession for sales because I had like nine $20 bags. And because you have more than one bag, you know, so you possess it to sell it. They gave me 3 years for that. Then I got possession of an 8-ball. They gave me 2 years for that. Then I got possession of an ounce in Yuba City, and they gave me 3 years for that. Not once did they say, hey, you know, maybe you have a problem and you should try a living program or a rehabilitation program. And then, when I went to get my food stamp card, right, I was told that people with drug beefs or drug convictions, you can't get food stamps. So I didn't go. Well, I went. And I talked to the lady and her supervisor. Oh, man.
That's
pumped out my rap sheet. She said, look here, man. All your drug cases are before 19. Anything after 96, any kind of trafficking, possession, sales, or anything, you can't get food stamps. You know what I mean? It's that, but all mine.
Really?
Wow. Mine were in the 80s, you know.
Well, good.
I had to tell her, well, you know, check it out. I'm just because you use an illicit drug and you might get hooked and you might, you know, and you might have a drug habit, that doesn't mean that you don't get hungry. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have to eat. You know, I don't understand it. And all the lady told me was, look, I don't make the rules. It's up to supervisors and board of supervisors and all that. Well, maybe you need to tell them, dude, you know? Because when you're out here on the street, that's all people have, man. You know what I mean? Is, you know, and it's all around, dude. And you don't have to pay no money for it. You know what I mean? You're out there, man. And, you know, if you stay awake and you do that, you're not hungry. You don't have to eat. You know, and you can walk around. of all extra energy and your cans and your bottles. And you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're like in this groove that was so hard to get out of, dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? After a couple weeks of it, man, your body just goes like, man. And then you start having to have it.
Okay, I had good intentions, I promise, to actually go over to Denny's, and I was going to do nothing but write about Marysville, Yuba City. I walk into down the street, run into James, interview him.
Well, as you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago, and a year ago I was hit by a truck. And unfortunately, I lost both my legs. I used to be really active. I used to be ride bikes. I used to hike. I miss that stuff a lot. Like, now I have nothing to do, and, like, I'm just now getting out of a depression. I'm trying to do stuff more. I go out and shoot pool. I like to shoot pool.
Give him my lighter. Tells me about the Hope Center. I'm down here over by Feather River.
A Russian berm sand turtle. He's got character. Don't ever let anybody think that a tortoise has no intelligence, because they got a little brain, and it works very good, okay? Oh, if she chased him down to Central Park, beat his ass in front of about 40 guys. They kept asking me, aren't you going to do something? I said, nope, she's taking care of it all herself. She's only 82 pounds, but I'll tell you what, any woman go through 10 pregnancies, you got to have strength of, you don't want to hurt you.
And I'm just kind of tooling around, so it looks like the visual journalist is going to be visual this morning, early afternoon. Cheers. Tell me about your experience a few years back, or how many years back, being homeless here in Oroville.
I actually had fun being homeless. It was homeless during the winter time. I slept in the bathrooms a lot, and I was a drug addict. I lost a good apartment when I went to jail.
When I came into Chico, oh, hell, it was 1999. Then my brother lived here. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got up here, but I got a five-bedroom house and started my own lawn care business. Went pretty good on that for a while. And I started to know the homeless people in Chico. I had a police department come up to me one day and knock on my front door. And I'll never forget. They opened up my back gate like they'd been in there 1,000 times before, and they walked around the back, and I had about 4 or 5 people in tents out there, and they said, what is all this? I said, well, the creek is rising, and it's going to flood, and I can't let them sit on the creek side. They said, well, as long as you have people like this around you, you'll never have nothing. Well, I don't know how many years later now it is, but me and my wife, same woman, 10 children, they all belong to the foster care system, and everything. I'm homeless. I'm on the street. I'm a vet. So we ended up under a bridge. Well, under this bridge, this guy kept on making a mistake. And he wasn't English speaking, and so I asked him straight up, are you taking a, doing your business under this bridge? And he said, yeah, well, if this is your house, you don't do that here. And if you're going to do that here, it's not going to be your house. Well, he took off the plastic bag he had over him, because it was raining that day, that's why we're under the bridge. And I thought he was just gonna pull the baggie off. Next thing I know, he took a playing knife and he stuck me in the chest.
Yeah.
Right there.
Wow. And he's
and went through.
He's
I'm a free bleeder, hemophiliac, AB negative blood. And he hit my playing knife, hit my backbone. Missed my lung, missed my heart.
Never caught him?
What?
Never caught the guy.
No,
oh, yeah, he
one.
Got caught.
No,
oh, he got
one.
Caught, trust me. He's been dealt with.
But the second one...
But that's not the way it was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be done in public eye so that somebody else would know what's actually going on.
The second one got caught.
Yeah,
he was running from the police. And he tried to... I started screaming. He dropped the insurance, tried to tap back door, and he pushed me out of the way.
And caught it up here. I caught this one.
And that's your two stabbings. Where was the two shootings?
One's in my thigh here and one's in my buttocks. My buttocks. I feel like...
Wow. Stabbed twice.
I feel like...
Shot twice. You said something else twice.
Yeah, my jaw broke twice.
Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.